Reach deep down inside yourself there and try and find something that'll keep you awake just a little while longer, because this transmission coming up may just rekindle your will to live.
Very still now. Don't talk.
How long does this take?
Not long. Not long.
It feels like times have changed, 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 changed.
Thank you.
my people.
Night Shift.
Night Shift. Mondays, midnight. It only happens here.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
They're not human.
Hi, this is Valley Forge, Berkshire Sequoia. Valley Forge, Berkshire Sequoia.
This is Comm Central. Channel open for executive order AUC 3423. Listen to this, boys.
Memory suggests that we might clarify them a little bit by hypnosis. Would you be agreeable to that?
Hypnosis?
It's a simple process. It's sometimes very helpful in cases of psychological trauma when people have difficulty remembering what happened to them. It's not exactly the electric chair. I'm going to count to 10 as you're falling asleep. When I'm finished, you'll be deeply, deeply asleep.
Tune to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. The name of the show,
Night Shift.
And I'm here with Joel Massiri. How are you, Joel Massiri?
Good evening, Mr. Sergeant.
So, first of all, Joel Massiri, we are in a marathon, and we're going to try something different here. I've just put on the Night Shift Facebook page a way for you to pledge, but not pledge for DGM or any of the stuff we usually do for the last few years here. But what we're asking is for you to be a BAI buddy. And if you know what a BAI buddy is, basically it means that you're committing to paying a small amount every month, like you would do for your cable or your phone, or
like
your
a sustaining membership.
Exactly, sustaining membership, and it could be like $10 a month. And
exactly.
That's the idea, $10 a month. And if you do it in the name of Night Shift, now you can go to the WBAI page at WBAI.org and find Night Shift, or I made it simple for you, just go to our Facebook page.
Yes.
And there's a link right there
on the page.
On the page, you just click on it, it takes you right to the Night Shift page.
It does.
Okay.
Technology.
Wait, why can't I hear you, Joe? You're closer to the mic.
I don't know. Is that better?
Much better. Bring the mic close.
Bring
the mic closer.
My back.
And
Can I wear it?
Okay. So what's that?
Yes. If you pledge now,
if you pledge now to BAI,
you can get Joe a headpiece microphone.
A headpiece microphone.
There you go.
So the thing is that it takes you right to the Night Shift page on the
right
site.
Right to the page.
Right to the page, and at the bottom of the page, it tells you that you can become a BAI buddy in the name of the show. And it'll show up for us. And I think if we could get 15 BAI buddies, that's like $5 an hour.
There you go.
That's $10. I mean, you usually pay $35. If you like the show, you enjoy the show, you enjoy what we do. If you enjoy Joe, you enjoy the mystery. Mystery guest is here. Hello, you, Mr. Mystery Guest.
Hello.
You've been getting good reviews, by the way.
Reviews?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, I get emails
Yelp.
And
we get
texts.
Yelp reviews?
Well, we don't get Yelp. That'd be great if radio shows. What would be like the radio version of Yelp? That would be good.
Yeah.
But
we call it Telp.
Telp. Exactly. So, you become a BAI buddy in the name of the show. So just go to The Night Shift. It's NITESHIFT. Go to Facebook. Just click on that. Become a BAI buddy. It's $10. $10 a month.
I'm going there to see if it is in fact on there.
How hard is that?
I'm going to experiment.
You experiment.
I'm clicking on my smartphone.
Are you clicking?
I'm clicking.
Was that you who put up this Star Trek thing over here?
Yes, because I thought you'd love it. Did you see the one I put up before that?
No.
Remember the old Fisher-Price little wooden peg people? Remember before they were plastic, they were wooden?
No, I'm too young to remember.
Yeah, right. Anyway, so they have a whole Star Trek play bridge set with little wooden peg people.
A play bridge set?
Yeah, it swings open, half open kind of thing.
Oh, really?
I saw that. I said, look, it would bring back memories for Mike.
No, I didn't see that.
Member berries.
No, I didn't say that. But I do have some Life Is Like. I put a bunch of Life Is Like science fiction up on the...
You do.
On the Facebook page, and we're going to be talking about some of that. I also have an interview with Juan Barona and Patrick Ness for their film Monster Calls, which opens up this Friday. So,
sure, this Friday?
Isn't it this Friday, or is it open up Christmas Day?
I think it opens up like the 21st or Christmas Day.
It's Christmas Day. We'll have the interview. Anyway, but I have Life Is Like Science Fiction. I have music for you. We have Joe Masiri. We have the mystery guest. Chris will be here. Everybody's here, and you should pledge because you love Night Shift. And if you love Night Shift, make a pledge and tell them why they should, mystery guest. Why should they pledge for Night Shift?
Because Night Shift is pledging for you.
Now, Joe, you gave me a bunch of CDs here too, so we've got some Joe Masiri music here.
Well, it's new albums. These all came out last year,
right? What do you mean last year? It's still 2016,
well,
baby.
They came out this year.
This year, okay.
I'm 3 weeks ahead
of
myself.
You're already ahead. You're already into the next year. Okay.
And you know, we've lost so many musicians in two of the discs in the pile.
Yeah.
Or this is the Leonard Cohen CD,
mm-hmm.
and also the Alan Toussaint CD.
Yeah, but you have them, but are they good? That's the question, Joe.
They're great.
They're great.
Yes.
Great. And what's the best cut on this Leonard Cohen CD?
I love the first cut, which is Make It Darker.
You Want It Darker.
You Want It Darker, yeah. It's just a great song. And it's so prophetic, too, given that, you know, he did the album, he went on tour, and he was on tour just a few months when he passed away in Philadelphia.
Was he on tour when he passed?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's the way to go, though, you know?
So like, he was doing what he loved. And
of course.
It was funny, there was a guy from the New Yorker magazine who interviewed him 2 weeks before he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was agoraphobic, and it took him a lot to go back on stage.
Really?
Yes. And he would drink 2 bottles of this French red wine every night. But he told this great story. And if you can seek it out and read it or hear the audio bit of him telling it, he was in Israel in this vast auditorium, and he was freaking. He couldn't go out there. So he does a hit of acid.
He did a hit of acid? Do they still have hits of acid?
Well, when he was there, he did a hit of acid, and all of a sudden, he thought he was hallucinating because he thought he heard the whole entire audience singing one of his songs. And he creeps out onto stage, and there's the whole audience with their
lighters
on, and they're singing his song to get him to come out on stage.
And he came out, and it was a trip.
He was blown away. That the way they were courting him to come out on stage.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So should I play your favorite track here?
Yes.
It's called...
Make It Darker.
You Want It Darker.
You Want It Darker, I'm sorry.
Joe, it's your favorite track.
I got the right word, the darkness thing.
Thank you.
the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker, we kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker, we kill the flame. They're lining up the prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker, I'm ready, my lord.
That's your favorite, huh?
Yes. There's a couple other songs on there that are really good.
And you bought these? They sent them to you?
What's the deal? Bought them.
You bought them. You paid your good Joe money.
I paid good Joe money for these.
Good Joe money.
So it's like you listen to that song and it's like you could see yourself riding Route 66 between L.A. and Vegas in the desert as the sun is setting, either in a convertible or a motorcycle. You know.
How come he never did a duet with Tom Waits? That's what I want.
Probably the only time he spent in the Buddhist monastery.
Well, you're tuned to Listener Sponsored Radio. The name of the show.
Makeshift.
Neath the stars, at bazaars, Often I've had to caress men. Don't be sad, I must add that they meant no more than chessmen.
You know, I was going through some music too, putting together for DGM and whatnot, and I have to say, there's definitely some old music that I hadn't listened to in a long time. And are you a Beatles fan at all?
Yes, you were rediscovering old favorites.
I was rediscovering old favorites. Yes, I was. I was rediscovering recently. I was listening back to Steely Dan.
Oh, come on!
You know, I was such a Steely. Were you a Steely Dan fan back in the day? What's that?
I enjoy Steely Dan. In fact,
yeah.
5 years ago, I went to two of the concerts.
So did I at the Blue Note?
No, what they would do is they would do like a week run at the Beacon Theater.
Yes.
And each night they would do a different album.
Yes, I never got to go to those. Were they fantastic?
Well, I used to go to the night that was like potluck, that they would play stuff.
Whatever they wanted, right.
And then they would do like their new remix takes on some classics, and they would take some audience requests and stuff. Those are really good shows. Those are good shows. I mean, you know, good musicians. Senor.
All right, Max has come in because he's going to tell us something. Chris, are you there? Did you actually come in, Chris? I don't know if Chris actually got it.
Oh, there
is. Is that you, Chris? Are you there?
Yeah, it's just like I can't hear you guys.
He can't hear us, so may have to have Chris call on the regular number. Max is going to have to do something, but in the meantime, I'm going to play some music, so Max does what he's got to do here. But what you should do is go to the Facebook page and
Facebook.
Become a BAI buddy. I'm going to play an oldie but goodie here for you.
From Steely Dan?
No, it's not Steely Dan. But this is. I didn't bring Steely Dan. I'm just saying I was thinking about Steely Dan.
But you brought Beatles.
No, I didn't bring Beatles. I actually brought Paul McCartney.
Oh, nice segue. I'm so sorry, Uncle Albert. We're so sorry if we caused you any pain. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But there's no one left at home, and I believe I'm gonna rain. Sorry, but we haven't heard a thing all day. We're so sorry, Uncle Albert. But if anything should happen, we'll be sure to give a ring. Thank you.
And I have a cup of tea and a butter pie.
Butter pie?
The butter won't melt, so put it in the pie.
All right.
I did something.
What'd you do?
Sorry about that. Is Chris still there? Chris, are you there still?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here. Yes.
Just
what did you
here?
Do?
You know, I'm going to try something else here. Joe was here.
Ashley, I can hear you great.
What'd you do? You can hear us now.
Can you hear me? Can you?
No, I might have you call in on the regular number there. So Joe's trying to talk me somehow into playing Meatloaf, and I'm telling him, come on. The last
yeah,
album.
Play Meatloaf.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh my God!
So I was just telling Mike, I didn't even know that there was this final album that was this final, you know, Jim Steinman and Meatloaf, get together kind of thing.
And then I
didn't know. Do you know that Jim Steinman had a stroke?
Yes.
Oh, you know about that? So
yes.
So this whole album was done with him, you know, putting it together very much like. Stephen Hawkins, he had to use one of those devices where he made eye contact with the monitor in order to communicate.
Very interesting, yeah.
But at the end of the day, because when I heard that, I thought maybe he listened to the album after it was done and that's what gave him the stroke. Chris, you've been in the music business, you know, and I got to tell you, I listened to this album. And I think the first song sets the tone for the whole album, which I would kind of like to dedicate to you in some way. But
are you really trying to get me to play a track from Meatloaf?
First of all, Meatloaf? You have to play it now, Mike. Are you dedicating the song to me or are you dedicating the song to Mike?
No, I'm dedicating it to you.
Don't dedicate this to me.
Wow.
Meatloaf.
I love
Meatloaf.
But I was like,
Mike Schiff hits a new low.
I've played Meatloaf on the show.
Yeah, I know.
Listen, Mike.
But this is new Meatloaf.
Listen, yeah. Steinman is a genius.
I don't understand how
he's a genius because he's still around. He's still making records.
Yeah, but Chris,
he's a genius.
Yes.
Having someone who has produced albums, as you are, I have no idea how this got past any executive to get out on the market. Let's put it that
because of his name.
But you'll listen to. There's no.
Dude, have you seen anything from Walter Hill in the last 10 years?
I will.
Have you seen any of his films?
I will remember Walter Hill and Meatloaf in much the same
Walter,
way.
You know what his middle name is now?
Hack.
No.
What?
Over the.
Oh,
okay. You ready?
You know what's really funny? It's like this song by Paul McCartney should be playing as we put all of them on the car to drive out to the sunset.
There you go. There you go.
All right, somebody's calling. Hello, you're on the air. Who is this?
How you doing?
Who's this?
Danny, how you doing?
It's Danny.
Danny, how are you?
Danny, can you believe Joe's trying to get me to play Meatloaf?
Wait, more important, it's Danny.
It's Danny.
Are you on our shores or are you on foreign soil?
I'm over here at Waikiki having a pina colada.
Are you having a pina colada listening to the show? I love it.
As the sun sets.
Yeah, the sun's setting and having a good time.
Danny across the water.
All right, gotta go. Aloha.
Wait, where are you going?
What?
What? You can't. Oh man.
Oh, that was a snap.
He called.
That was a snap.
That was a check-in. I'm here. I'm having a drink.
Exactly.
Aloha. Goodbye.
It was a total snap.
All right.
All right, so you really want me to play a track from Meatloaf?
We don't. At some point, if you can't take it anymore, I totally respect your decision to stop it.
Listen, right. 30 seconds needle drop. That's what we do. We do 30 seconds and we're out.
Listen.
What's the name of this album?
You got it there.
Under the Big Top. Yeah! Who's the audience for this, Joe?
People who grew up in the 70s, 80s rock.
Wow.
Oh, here he comes. Here he comes.
Who needs the young? The revelation of the faces and the hair. When all we have are with the traces of the faces we once were.
Joe. Wow. You need Elena backing him up in here.
Exploding in the sun. Who needs the young job? The celebration of the race.
And you're saying this is full auto-tune?
Full auto-tune.
The sadomasochistic things they never done. Disgusting. And all the places that we never will have gone.
You're going to play this during a Trump's inauguration.
Who needs the
young? Yes, I did.
Joe bought this.
Wow. Just aren't what they were. You can bring it back, you know. What they
were. My eyes just aren't what they were. Is there anyone that you can see? Blinding.
What do you say? My voice is not what
it
was.
My lips just aren't what they were. Is there anyone that you can kiss? Spit on him.
Okay, you can stop.
My mouth is bizarre.
Wow.
It doesn't get any better.
Wow. So, Under the Big Top.
There you go. And the only thing I can say that he's...
It's like a bad Queen album meets, I don't know what.
It's but just like a bad album.
It is. And his voice is gone.
He never had a voice, dude.
First two albums, yes. Yes. And come on, Rocky Horror Picture Show. That's who this is geared to.
This is not geared to Rocky Horror Picture. And these are paintings of what he does not look like.
I know. So...
Dude... It's not called Under the Big Top. It's called something else here, but I would call it Under the Big Top because it sounds like. It says, and it says, Meatloaf, Braver Than We Are, all songs by Jim Steinman.
Right.
Like, is that to add to the legitimacy? Or?
Because he does have a fan base. The two of them have a fan base together.
But did he, Steinman wrote all the hits?
Steinman wrote all that music.
Steinman created Meatloaf. I mean,
that's no big
deal. Steinman did a lot of hits. For a lot of people.
Bonnie Raitt, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Bonnie Raitt. Yep.
He did a song for Streisand.
Bonnie Raitt can sing. Streisand can sing.
I know.
Yeah, but he wrote the hits. He was the guy. Yeah. Jim Steinman was the guy. He was the genius behind all those successes.
And he's the genius behind this, too.
You know,
Well, everybody has their day, and, you know.
And then it's gone.
Yeah, and what
and
I didn't...
Then, yeah, then it's gone. I mean, people lose their mo. You know that.
You know?
But it's... You would think that there would be something... How do you turn around and release something like that?
There is something there. I just don't know what it is. I mean, I'm not gonna... There is something there.
Is
it a comedy album?
No, something there that
there's
you...
There's something there. That is something,
yeah, you need your pooper scooper cup to pick it up.
And I love the fact that he does the Pavarotti thing, too.
What's the Pavarotti?
When he goes out on tour, he turns around at the end of...
He sings and he puts his arms in the air and sticks his giant belly out.
He falls down on the floor and he's like, I need my oxygen. I need my oxygen kind of thing. Yeah.
How old is this guy now?
You know, he's 69. Jim Steinman's 69. I'm reading about it right now. just going over it so I don't sound like a fool. But, you know, he, 1975, he did a Joseph
I'm not talking
Papp
about Steinman, the guy who's singing.
Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, how old is
Meatloaf
he?
Meatloaf is like 65. So, but look how old Leonard Cohen was, 82.
Leonard Cohen has style.
I know. And look at, and even Tony Bennett is 90 years old and he's
Tony,
still out.
You're going to put Tony Bennett and Meatloaf.
I'm just saying, there's a time when you have to realize you've plateaued and reached your limitations. Like even Tony Bennett says, like, when I can't get up in the morning and do this anymore, I'm not going to do it.
Meatloaf obviously is like, doesn't feel that way.
He hasn't told, he's like Donald Trump. Somebody has,
Mr. Guess, you can weigh in. What's your, like,
exactly. No,
Meatloaf. Can't play with
too many visuals come to mind.
The latest Meatloaf.
There you go. 2016.
Well, you know, Joe, I'd recommend you getting the new Keith Richards album because
I've actually heard the new Stones.
I heard some tracks from the new Stones.
So
not better than this.
They're, well,
it's very blues.
They sound like old.
Well,
blues musicians,
but
and
that's what
not
they
a
are.
Bad thing.
They are old blues musicians.
Well,
now.
You know the Keith Richards album. Now, here's the irony of it: that album that just came out, we were nominated for best recorded album of the year for the TEC Award for that record.
You said we.
My studio. That's no longer there.
I don't know what that means.
What?
I don't understand what that means.
What do you mean you don't understand what that means?
You're saying the studio was nominated? How does the studio...
My recording studio was nominated for a TEC award for this year for Best Recorded Album. TEC, the Tech Award.
I thought your studio closed 2 years ago.
Yeah, it did close, but we did this... The album just came out. They recorded it.
They recorded it.
The album just came out. And we're up against David Bowie's new album that came out.
Might as well forget about it.
And
anybody who's
Coldplay,
up against David Bowie.
Right. And Coldplay. And then actually the score for Hamilton. So.
Oh, Hamilton just, and Bowie?
We're not going to win it, but I think it's ironic that here I get...
If you get a free table years. And there's booze and drinks involved, I'd be down for going. But otherwise, you know, if you got to pay for that,
Vegas.
I wouldn't show up.
No, I'm just saying, it's hilarious to me. It's like, I don't have, the studio's gone. They completely demolished it. I mean, it's just hilarious.
And David Bowie's not here, so...
But the record, the Keith Richards album, is you would really like it, Joe.
Well, send me a copy.
I don't have a copy.
What do you mean you don't have a copy?
I have a copy, but not a copy cop.
What does that mean? Is it an ELP or a, you know, is it electronic?
Speaking
of
ELP, you know, Greg Lake passed.
Yeah, I saw that.
Keith Emerson passed earlier, not Greg Lake. So it's just what? It's just Palmer left now.
Yep.
Wow.
And you know, they're doing, I don't know what anniversary it is, but in January or February, they're doing Tommy at the Royal Albert Hall.
Really?
Yeah, but, like, who's still alive? I know Peter Townsend's still alive, but who else from the Who's
Daltrey.
Still alive? Oh, Daltrey, okay. Yeah, you know what? I forget Daltrey all the time because I think of him with Pink Floyd.
Daltrey and Pink Floyd?
Never mind.
Joe,
I just realized
what are you drinking? What are you drinking here, Joe?
I don't know. I could say something, but I'm not. I'll take the Fifth Amendment.
Well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. We're in our marathon, and this is Night Shift. And if you're enjoying any of this, like Meatloaf or any of that, you should become a BAI buddy. You can go to the website and become a BAI buddy on the Night Shift page. But more importantly, just go to Facebook, NITESHIFT, Night Shift. Go to the page. There's a link right there. And, I have an interesting story here. Mr. Guest has an interesting story. Tell me what you think of this show.
The name of the show is Night Shift. The name of the story. This astonishing skin gun sprays new skin.
The skin gun. Do you know about this, Joe?
Yes, because they used what they hoped the future of this would be for the opening sequence of Westworld.
Ah, okay.
Because they show this... machine.
Well, they also had this in Logan's Run back in 75.
Skin gun?
Yeah, they had a skin gun. In you remember, Chris, right? Logan's Run? In the new U shop? Go ahead, been a Mr. while. Guest.
I lost the page here. Sorry.
It was the meatloaf and flabbergasted her.
Not quite.
No, I like that. I like that I was talking, and then Mike just went right on to something else. But it'll be funny when he listens back.
He segued.
I know he didn't segue. He just went right on to something. I'm like, wow, Chris, that's really nice that you were nominated. He just went right on to something else.
Well, what were you saying? You said you said
nothing,
you,
man. It's just you pay said to what you, everybody's yeah. talking about.
Excuse me. You said that you were nominated, and then the studio closed.
Well, it's
closed.
Nice. Congratulations, Chris. It's nice that you.
Thank you, Joe.
You used to be good at something.
I mean, the little praise, just a shiny moment.
There you go. You created a space for something to be. Now you live up in the forest with lots of trees.
Listen, I was just in New York. I just went to see Chick Corea and John McLaughlin
I know you were in New York. Me and Mike were having drinks, talking about you afterwards, having a good laugh.
What? It wasn't that. That was the week before.
He told me how he took advantage of you and he played you for the rube that you are.
No, that was the week before.
The show. Joe was on the show with you.
There you go.
Yeah, we were on the show, but I was just in again this weekend. I was just in Saturday.
No wonder why it got cold.
It did get cold. It's going to get even colder.
That means you're coming back again.
Yes.
See? He's the Frost Miser.
Chris Taylor, the Frost Miser.
But we're preventing the mystery guest from reading the story.
Go right ahead.
So this is from HuffPost Tech, in the United Kingdom. This astonishing skin gun sprays new skin onto burns and heals them. Science fiction just became science fact by Sophia Gallagher. A company in New York is developing groundbreaking technology that could transform the way severe burns and scars are treated. RenovaCare, who build medical-grade liquid spray devices, have just released promising results from their latest clinical trials of the skin gun. On the NHS, serious burns are often treated with laser therapy, radiotherapy, or skin needling, the results of which vary considerably according to official advice. Not to mention these options require lengthy periods in hospital, return visits, and are invasive procedures. But the skin gun, which lightly sprays the patient's own stem cells onto the surface of the burn, prompting it to regenerate and grow organically, only takes 90 minutes for the entire procedure. It also causes no scarring and avoids the need for invasive surgery or lengthy stays in hospital.
Wow.
The patient is required to give a small sample of skin to extract the necessary stem cells, and within a few short days, they are able to have the procedure. Trials have shown that cells sprayed onto the damaged surface maintained 97.3% viability, essential for regenerating skin, and the subsequent growth was comparable to that achieved with a pipette, the industry's gold standard for the deposition of cells. Thomas Bold, president and CEO, said, "Study results provide preclinical support for our methodology for first isolating keratinocytes from skin samples and subsequently achieving even and gentle spray application without harming these powerful yet delicate cells. The painless treatment is currently being used to help U.S. Army veterans who have suffered with extreme burns, but it is currently not for sale to medical facilities in the country."
It's for veterans. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that, Joe?
I wonder maybe in the years to come, it would be interesting to find out the ancillary mechanisms that allow that to work as opposed to, you know, over the years they did the skin grafts.
Yes.
So why is this more effective than skin grafts?
Well, it's quicker. It's stem cells. They're actually taking the stem cells, your own stem cells, growing them, and then spraying it to generate
what they were doing is they would also take skin samples from parts of the body that wasn't burned to layer it over in the hopes that the cells would regenerate themselves. So
that was the hopes. Now this is working, Joe.
Right, right.
This is working.
Why does one... But the interesting scientific facts would be, why does one work over the other?
Magic. You don't think so, Joe?
I don't know. Did you notice that Donald Trump bears a striking resemblance to Dr. Zaius?
Only that he's orange.
Well, and like the way his hair is and stuff and whatnot.
Yeah, don't insult Dr. Zaius like that.
I said that when we were hanging out, Mike. Don't you remember?
We were talking about Planet Apes.
And he lies like Dr. Zaius, too.
No, I said that Donald Trump reminds us of Dr. Zaius, and you said the exact same thing you just said to Joe to me. You said, don't do that. Don't put Dr. Zaius in there.
Don't put Dr. Zaius.
And he kind of, like, purses his lips like him and stuff and whatnot, which is really funny. It's like, and he's telling people, you know, lies like Dr. Zaius did.
Dr. Zaius.
There's no such thing as a talking.
Exactly. There can't be. I'm sorry.
There can't be.
You don't seal up the cave.
You don't want to go looking for those answers.
Oh, Taylor. So SantaCon was this weekend. Did you go to that, Joe? Did you dress up?
No, I don't do SantaCon.
Because so. Now I couldn't figure out why everybody was dressed up like Santa Saturday night.
You couldn't figure that out?
So.
Yeah, that's what, because Russell Simmons, I was eating at Curry in a Hurry, and Russell Simmons came in, and we wound up eating dinner. But
was he in a Santa outfit?
No, but he started talking to all these millennials that were dressed up in Santa outfits, and he started saying, "Where's the black Santa?"
He's at the Mall of America. That's true.
Yes,
that's
he is. What I he know. Said. I covered that story.
There you go. Mall of America.
Yeah. Well, Russell was great. Russell was wonderful. I hadn't seen him in, like, I don't even, like, so many years, and I'm so proud of him and what he's accomplished. I mean, he's really done a lot, you know, from Chungking Studios to, you know, multimillionaire success, which is really cool. But I couldn't figure out why everybody was dressed up in Santa outfits. There was, like, hundreds of people, like, all over the place.
Chris Taylor's going to make music great again.
No, but you know what? I told Russell, I said, you know, music right business is really hurting. Right he said, hey, man, you just got to reinvent.
There you go. We're going to bring music back to America. We're going to make
great again.
We're going to make music
great again.
You know,
it was great.
Again.
Mike was showing me all those 45s that he's been getting at these film promotions that he's been getting, these 45s.
Yeah, that's the thing right now. They give out, like, 45s of the theme and stuff.
It's pretty cool. I think it's cool. And hello,
it's funny.
To
they sent it to me. I didn't even know what it was.
Come on, do you still have the little plastic thing, or is it filled in with a hole in the center so you don't have to get the plastic?
No, it's a regular 45, but not that I have anything to play it on, but I mean, it's a 45.
You don't have a turntable at home?
No, I used to have a turntable in storage.
Oh, well, we know what happened to that.
Yeah, that's over. It's over, Rambo.
There you go. Do you want me to read this, or...
Yes, I do.
So, methane levels have spiked a worrying amount, and no one is sure why. Really? Did this come from, like, Fox News? Where did this come from? I don't know. Is this even real news?
Yeah, it's HuffPost UK.
Okay. Like, they're the source for something. Methane gas emissions are growing faster now than at any time in the last two decades, threatening efforts to limit global warming to 2 degrees Celsius. You know, when I got off the plane in L.A., we drove out. I had never seen that before, but all the oil fields that are there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and how they went around testing and all the methane that's leaking out of those wells.
So it has nothing to do with the bean harvest.
No, nothing to do with the bean harvest. None whatsoever. Or the cows. So scientists have warned that the proliferation of powerful greenhouse gases could undermine progress made to curb other emissions like carbon dioxide. A team of international scientists found that methane emissions began to surge in 2007 and shot up in 2014 and 15 by 10 parts per billion each year. Couldn't have anything to do with fracking, maybe? You think? Any fracking in your neck of the woods, Chris?
Uh, No, my town.
Oh, you're in upstate New York.
Yeah, but my town was. There was big fights going on between not wanting fracking and people that actually signed leases because there's a lot of slate or slate rock, I guess.
Shale.
Yes, the mystery guest is right. Shale. Mystery guest one, Chris Taylor zero.
Yes, but so they were fighting and then.
All right. Well, I'm moving on to continue reading. While the cause of the spike is unclear, scientists suspect it comes from agricultural sources around the tropics, like rice paddies and cattle pastures. You know, we know about the cows. I never heard about the rice paddies though. That's a new piece of
rice information. Paddies.
Yeah, rice paddies.
They cause methane?
That's what they're saying. Rice paddies and cows.
So there should be a lot of methane over in Japan.
Yeah, right. There's significantly less methane in the atmosphere.
Vietnam.
Yeah, in carbon dioxide, but it's much more potent. We've heard this before, trapping 28 times more heat. The leveling off we've seen in the last 3 years for carbon dioxide emissions is strategically different from the recent rapid increase in methane, said Robert Jackson, a co-author of the paper and a professor in earth system science at Stanford University. The results are worrisome, but provide an immediate opportunity for mitigation that complements efforts for carbon dioxide, Jackson added. Researchers looked at a range of information to make the calculations, including inventories of methane emissions, computer models, and air measurements. Methane growth was stagnant from 2000 to 2006, but surged after 2007.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, there really was. We just had straight oil wells back then, and the methane gas they were tapping, which would come off first from the oil wells. So therefore, there was less methane gas coming off. Now, with the fracking and trying to get the natural gas out, of course, there's so much more. You know.
So you think it's due to fracking?
I think it's from fracking and the you know, some of the other factors that they're talking about, but.
I don't know.
So, for the last 2 years especially, the growth rate has been faster than for the years before. It is really intriguing. And by the time Dr. Zayas gets into office, we should see even a larger growth spurt. So,
Dr. Zayas.
So, there you go.
I don't know. I don't think Dr. Zayas has anything to do with Trump. I'm sorry.
So there you go. When it comes to methane, there has been a lot of focus on the fossil fuel industry, but we need to look just as hard, if not harder, at agriculture, Jackson said. The situation certainly isn't hopeless. It is a real opportunity. You know, we know about the cows.
The cows, but I don't think the cows are the main issue. I mean,
no,
it's not,
but
like,
they put out a lot of methane. It's not
yeah,
like
but
we got more
stagnant.
Cows.
Exactly.
And look at all the cows we whacked because of mad cow disease.
You mean during the cow holocaust?
The cow holocaust.
Yes, yes, there was a cow holocaust. I remember.
Tag, I'm in. No, my turn.
They say I'm crazy, the way you got me open, baby. Ooh. They say I'm bugging, the way I'm time sweating your loving. Ooh. They all sit and wonder why this feeling I cannot hide. It ain't a question of pride. Ooh. It's love. It's love. It's love. Ooh. It's love. It's love. It's love. They say I'm tripping the way you got my whole life.
Joe, this is a story I found specifically for you.
Oh, you know.
Here you go.
Is Elena involved in this story?
No, Elena's not involved.
No. Then why bother?
Elena.
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 Are you listening?
Elena.
Let me put my glasses on.
Please.
Just so I can read the fine print. So.
It's the both tracks, Mike. We're in California.
Yes, Chris remembers this track. You remember this, huh, Chris?
Of course, man. We were hanging out, Joe. I thought of you, Joe. Mike and I had a really good time. Mike's apartment is so awesome.
Yeah, no, not really, because it's got Princess in it.
No, Princess, no, this
Princess
is,
this was is nice.
This is pre-Princess.
Princess slept in my bed.
What can I say? Me and cats, it's not where it's
Princess
at.
Don't like you, Joe. That's what it is.
No, no. I'm a dog person.
Did Princess sleep with you?
Yeah, man. I had a whole thing going on.
The Princess did not sleep with you. Get out of here.
Yeah, don't be jealous, Mike. Don't be a hater. Embrace it, man. Embrace the love, man.
I guess at his age, he's got to get it where he can get it.
That's what Byron says.
There you go.
Byron and Princess bonded. Princess is my cat, just in case you didn't know.
Listen to me, my friend. At my age, I have no problem getting it.
Yeah, I understand. and just
and
so you
neither
know.
Neither does Mike.
Listen.
Now, maybe you, Joe, need
just
to take a lesson from Mike, who I consider. Who was the great lover?
What's the longest you've ever been in a. Yeah, here we go. What's the longest you've ever been in a relationship, Chris?
Me?
Yes.
Depends.
The longest? Five years.
He had his cat for 5 years. All right, but I do want to say that you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI, and this is Night Shift. And if you're enjoying the show at all, you're enjoying the music or the talk or the conversation or the stories,
yes,
you can go to Facebook right now,
yes,
at N-I-T-E-S-H-I-F-T, Night
yes.
Shift, and there's a link there where you can become a BAI buddy. And basically, a BAI buddy means that for $10 a month, you can support the station. You can help us stay alive. And you know what? We get more BAI. If we get enough BAI buddies, we won't have to pitch at all. So I'd like to get five an hour. If we can get four more for this hour, very happy.
Can you track? Is there a way you can?
Yes, there is a way to track. Yes, there is. We got one so far this hour.
Wow.
I want to get four more. 20 minutes after.
How many did we get in the first hour?
We only got three in the first hour.
Well, that's, you know what? That's a feast to a starving man.
That is a feast to a starving. So I really want you to go right now and pledge. You can go to the website if you want at WBAI.org and look for Night Shift under programs. And then at the bottom there, you can click on how to be a BAI buddy. But again, it's $10 a month. Come on. You pay a lot more for a lot less. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, Joe.
Here goes my buddy. Oh, okay. Taking into consideration the country for which this happened, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, this makes sense to you, Joe, because this sounds like a Twilight Zone episode to me.
So, dead, quote-unquote dead, South African car crash victim found alive in mortuary fridge. There you go.
That sounds incredibly
disturbing. A car crash victim believed to be dead was found to be still breathing in a mortuary refrigerator 2 days later. Mzizi...
Wow.
I don't know. Mackenzie was walking with a friend in the South African township of Kawa Masu when he was hit by a car last week. When his family arrived for identification purposes, a pulse was found in the patient by mortuary staff, who then immediately transported him to Mantima Gandhi Hospital.
Get him out of this fridge.
For resuscitation.
Not defrosting?
Yes, there you go.
For defrosting.
They
took him out for defrosting.
A provincial officer told the Times. That's it. That's the whole story. Oh, wait.
That's it?
Oh,
there's more.
There's
it wasn't
more.
Moving up. It was going side to side.
You don't know what you're doing.
You know.
I miss paper.
Me too. Mackenzie's uncle, Peter Mackenzie, told the Daily Sun. you know?
I'm sorry. Just saw him now. This is God's work.
Aha!
Is God's work.
Actually, I should change that.
Not lame.
What we just saw now. This is
not
God's
stupidity.
Work.
It's God's work.
But despite being successfully resuscitated, oh no, the 25-year-old sadly died 5 hours later.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow. Wow.
The Democratic Alliance spokesman on health, Dr. Rishingi Virnawa, called for an urgent investigation into the matter.
Yeah.
Wow. The offices reported there had been a five-hour period of cardiopulmonary resuscitation and warming by staff.
2 days in a freezer.
Dr. Virnawa
said...
That's
the movie, 2 days in a freezer.
The DA has written to the hospital to comment the efforts on the staff to attempt resuscitation.
This is South Africa, not India.
So, well, it's kind of a little bit like that. Despite staff shortages.
All countries of color are the same.
There you go.
Dude,
I didn't know that. Listen, they tried their best to resuscitate the patient, with some even staying on after their shifts had ended to assist.
What was the resuscitation?
Rise!
Well, like what
did they
in the
do?
Abyss? Don't die on me, damn
yeah,
you.
Yeah, right,
don't
right,
die
right,
on
right.
me, damn you. The horrific event has again highlighted the extreme shortcomings, you think, with the KZN Health Department's EMRS and mortuary services.
Say,
do you think he's dead? I don't know. You go over check him.
Exactly.
He looked dead to me.
I'd say that, yeah.
He kind of pale.
They're definitely lacking in that department there. Think about that. Like,
yeah,
here you are.
You
could have been resuscitated.
You can read this one, Mike. This one I picked for you.
Thank you. What's this? Oh, stop.
I picked this one just for you.
Thank you.
You can read this, Mr. Mike.
I don't want to read about thrush. What is a thrush
That's
infection?
That's not the story I gave
I don't
want
to know about
That's
that.
That's not the story.
It is. This
no,
is the story. It's part of the story.
You lie.
It says thrush and yeast infections right here. I don't even
okay.
know what thrush is. Do you know what thrush infections are, Mr. Guest?
I'd rather read about it on my own time.
Okay. There you go. She knows.
At least she's honest.
That's good.
I thought you were talking about like thrush, like the birds.
Yeah, the group. Thrush.
Oh, you know who's doing a concert?
Who?
Dickie Manitoba and the Dictators. Chris would know who they are.
Chris, you know who that is?
Yes.
Don't lie.
They predate the Ramones, am I correct?
Yes, they did.
There you go.
Did you know that reindeers are under threat because of global warming?
If polar bears are under threat, why aren't it would only make common sense that reindeers are likewise under threat.
That was Mike's way of pivoting right off of that.
Pivot. There you go. Because he doesn't know anything about that music.
There's some.
He
percentage.
Just pivots right off. Mike's just quick. He's so quick. He's like, yeah, did you notice that the sun got up this morning and it was happy?
Percentage of species who are endangered.
Yes. Then they just put the giraffes on there, too.
Yeah, giraffes are endangered species, too. Yes, they are.
There you go.
Yes, they are.
And I know I told you, but did we post something on the Night Shift page about that 70-mile crack in the Antarctic?
No, talk to me about that. I don't know about that. Talk to me.
NASA's tracking a 70-mile crack in the Antarctic, and if the bad news comes to pass, a iceberg the size of Delaware could slough off and head into the ocean. So there you go.
Hey, mystery guest, does Mike pivot really well? What do you think?
On court or off?
Both when he's hard-pressed.
Oh, so does he pivot well when he's hard-pressed? Look at Mike doesn't know what to say.
I think I'm going to add a do not defrost to my DNR.
DNF and DNR.
I love Mike. Mike is so Joe. You got to admit, Mike is amazing. You got to admit it, though. Mike's just the best. You know, we could be anywhere in New York. Mike knows where to get free water.
In the future, that'll be a difficult thing.
It will. It will.
Mike knows where to get a free bottle of water no matter where we were in New York. Mike's like, oh, no, we get a free bottle of water right here.
But that's probably a lesson he learned from one of our senior colleagues, Brad Balfour, because Brad knows where to get the free water. He knows where to get the free newspapers. He knows what hotel to walk into near the end.
Well, Joe, that's how Mike and I first met, because we were the Stony Brook, what was that, Comic-Con? What was it, Stony Brook Con? What was it called, Mike?
Icon.
And I met Mike, and Mike's like, hey, you hungry? Come on, we'll get some free lunch. All right, I go, what? He goes, hey, don't worry about it. I'm the man. Sure enough. All these years later, Mike is still the man.
So is that just another skill he learned at the park bench?
No, he's just...
All right, come here, kid. I'll show you how to get a free lunch.
Mike knows how to find the front row, and Mike knows how to get...
It's not that hard to find the front row. You just walk to the front, and then, hey, look at that row right here in the front. That must be the front row.
It's like a Scooby-Doo line.
Yeah, but Joe doesn't know how to find the front row. Joe's got his posse with him all the time. He's got like 7-8 guys, all the crowd. Every time he goes to anything, they just crowd around him.
First of all, Joe is, they used to call me King of the Freaks. Joe is truly King of the Freaks. I've seen him in action. They crowd around him. They're like, oh, Joe. Like, you ever see those movies? Like, those movies where they always have, like, the white character and, like, Tarzan, whatever, and all the brown people are just touching him. Like, that's Joe. Like, all the freaks just touching him. Joe, help us, Joe. And Joe is total.
I've seen it in action. And then Joe starts talking.
And Joe's friendly to all of them. He's like, no, this is Diesel Bob. He's very nice. He's got a strangely shaped head, but I use him to deliver my mail. And he's just friendly to all these people.
Yes, I awoke in a freezer.
See, Joe's not even denying it because he knows he's king.
No, Joe's silent because they're probably listening. His cohorts are listening. No, Joe's on the radio tonight. We have to listen.
There are people that I frequent and, you know, that I'm friends with and stuff that I see at screenings and whatnot. And yes, there are some of them that are characters at the more promotional screenings. But I'm sure there are others who are listening who are of a certain IQ would.
I'm not saying you don't have some normal friends. You do.
I know, but Joe, you need to take
When they pushed me out of the way, I couldn't even sit next to you. They pushed me right out of the way. The whole gang of them come and they're around you and they follow you like you know, all the way through, in and out of the screening, and then you somehow have to ditch them at the last minute.
Listen. Let me tell you about the time I got stuck in a movie theater and at a screening, and Mike dumped these two kids on me, and one who happened to be very intelligent was like...
What do you mean I dumped two kids on you?
You dumped two kids on me.
When was this?
I'm not naming names. And one was like, when do you think Mr. Sergeant will be back? I said, well, didn't he say he was going to get you guys some meat? Please. He used that excuse to get pizza as an excuse. He actually had to go do something else, and I just want to know when you think he's coming back, because I just met you, and technically you are kind of a stranger, and I don't know what your credentials are for watching this.
Yeah, they said you are kind of strange is what they said.
So, and at that point, and she said, but don't get upset about it because he does this all the time. So,
wow.
Yes. So
I question the validity of this story.
This was a girl.
About the story I remember.
There was something about this girl who that I can honestly say that her IQ is probably exceptional, and therefore, also her ability to see through the typical Mike Sargent charm that he seeks to cast.
Is that the mystery guest you're talking about?
No. Oh. She was just like, this little girl was seeing right through it.
What on earth are you talking about?
Harry Potter,
now, Mike.
Ilea, and the Asian girl that was her friend that you stiffed me with.
Oh.
There you go.
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that now. Oh.
Ilea and the Asian girl.
I don't remember her name. I only met her once. But this girl was extremely intelligent.
She was a very smart girl. I remember.
Very smart girl. Very intuitive.
She was very smart.
She was, I think Michael will agree with me, she was wise beyond her years.
Well beyond her years.
Frighteningly so.
She's not a little girl anymore.
No, none of them are. I mean, you know. If she was your daughter's friend, she's like,
well, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, and it's 1:34 in the morning. And we need you to pledge.
Pledge, please.
To become a BAI buddy. I'm not asking you to pledge like a whole lot of money, just $10 a month. Become a BAI buddy, and become a BAI buddy right now during the show, for the show.
Chris, are you our buddy? Have you pledged?
Yes, Chris, you should pledge yourself just to put your money where you want. It's only $10 a month. You can afford that. And here's what you do. Go to the Facebook page, NITESHIFT.
He spends more on that in toilet
That's
paper
right.
a month.
Just go to the Night Shift Facebook page, and there's a link there for you right now. You can click on it, and then you just go and become a BAI buddy, $10 a month. Boom. Boom.
Will you be my buddy?
Do you know about the city that's run by deer? Do you know about that city? Deer City?
It's called
Nara, a city.
I have a problem communicating in
with deer.
You know, third terrestrial languages such as deer.
Why?
It's, you know, something I've never mastered. Oh!
Yes.
Scientific paper was released this week.
Saying?
Which explains a lot. I totally have a newfound appreciation for Chris Taylor.
Why? What did I?
Well, they said that they said that
I have a newfound thing for Mike because Mike.
Well, they said that
like
primates,
the Willis sisters,
primates possess the equipment to speak. What they do not possess is the mental
desire,
acuity. Forthwith to use their equipment to form speech as we know it. So they have...
I've met people like that.
They actually have computer models where if you wanted to know what a primate sounded like, if they had the ability to speak.
And what do they sound like? Hey,
no,
shall not kill me!
No.
What do they sound like?
No. I thought it was very interesting, so there you go. But yes, this was a scientific paper released this past week, which also explains a lot about Donald Trump's ability to tweet. So there you go.
So wait, does that mean primates can tweet? Is that what?
Yeah, they could tweet. They probably could tweet before they could speak. So, I mean, look at what was the primate or gorilla that had the ability to sign?
Coco, thank you.
Coco, see? She knows. Shale, Coco, she's right there. She's on it.
Dun, dun, dun.
You don't want to read this story, mystery guest. I see that she doesn't want to read
this.
Let's
talk about gorillas.
You want to talk about gorillas?
Yeah. Let's talk about something.
Well, we're going to talk about Christmas decorations.
Oh, okay. Is there an article on that?
Yes, there is.
Oh, okay. Are they gorilla?
Jump right into this, aren't you?
You don't want to jump into this, Mr. Guest.
Well, I like to do like a brief run through.
Okay, do a brief run through.
Just so that I can.
She's a resident female, so we, you know, we have to give her these stories.
It's a pronunciation thing.
Joe has a full set of these, by the way.
What, Villa ornaments?
Did you receive some kind of leaked information?
Joe knows everything.
Chris, no, that was Chris.
I mean, Chris knows everything. Chris knows everything.
What do you mean Chris knows everything? I don't know anything.
Well, you heard it there.
I
want to
get
night,
that on tape.
I'm gonna use that in a loop. Use that soundbite.
Why? When do I say that I know anything?
Another soundbite. Keep going. You're listen, laying out your own.
Mike
role.
Sargent knows everything. I can call Mike up in the middle of the night and ask him a question, and he'll have an answer.
Yeah, that's Byron.
There you go.
Oh, you. I can call you up and be like, listen, Mike.
Mike, what do you do for jock itch? What do you do for roach?
No, my last question is, Mike, what do you do if you got scabies?
I don't even know what that is. You get in that pool. You get in that pool. They have these things where you can get in the water, and these little fish will eat all the dead skin off you. You heard about that?
Yeah, they were using them in the spas to eat the callus on your
in
feet.
In spas, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, what are you saying? Chris is a bottom feeder. I don't get the connection.
No.
But can I tell you a story? I went to somebody's house, and they're like, "Yeah." I said, I went in into their house, and I was like, "Where's all your furniture?" Like, they had like two lawn chairs sitting in front of the TV.
Chris has never seen Breaking Bad, obviously.
No. I went like, what happened to all your
furniture? Why are all those people keep coming out of the basement? How come y'all got no furniture?
And no, wait.
Y'all know Bryan Cranston?
But they said to me, they go, we had bed bugs.
Chris Taylor, you've entered the Twilight Zone.
So they said they had bed bugs.
It's like, yeah, we had bed bugs in our trailer.
We couldn't get Roscoe, bed bug dog, so...
Roscoe the bed bug dog.
We just decided it was getting cold, so we all burned our furniture. It served a purpose twofold. We were killing the bed bugs.
No, they were telling me you can't get rid of the bed bugs. They bring that dog in that sniffs them out, but that's about it.
He wasn't sniffing them out. Yeah, they're here. Now you're screwed. All right, Mr. Guest, did you get through the whole article there?
No, I just scanned it for pronunciation.
Oh, okay.
HuffPost Christmas.
You should have that Steve Austin sound for when she's scanning.
Some of your back.
That was Jamie. That was a Jamie. Reference.
She had the ear. She had the ear. Steve had the eye.
Yeah, she had the ear. She could hear things going on in the other room.
Vagina Christmas decorations are here to make the season merry and bright. You heard me.
Vagina.
No.
With bells and vulvas.
Did you say vagina?
We now live in a world where you can purchase vaginamins for your Christmas tree.
They call them vagina mints?
Yeah, can you eat them? Because I want some vagina mints. What about you, Joe?
It sounds like something else, but I'm not going there.
No, like ornaments. Vagina mints, not mints.
Vagina mints. I'll have two, please.
In what is a spectacular celebration of the vagina, Etsy store Felt Melons sells hand-fashioned vulva bubbles.
Wait. The name of the store is Felt Melons?
What else would it be called?
Okay.
Yeah, Felt Melons.
What I'm going to call my store. Go ahead.
Hand-fashioned vulva baubles out of soft felt. The unique store is the brainchild of Suzanne McAleen, who handcrafts the colorful ornaments. Each vagina mint is my own design, and each is endearingly cut, assembled, and entirely stitched by hand in my dining room in Burlington, Ontario.
Handmade vagina mints.
Canada, hey, Ma, look, she got all these vajayjays over her dining room table.
No vagina mints are exactly the same. It's all part of their
this
charm.
This is true.
Just
due
like
to the
God.
Fact they're created in Canada, it takes up to 18 business days for the decorations to arrive in the UK. This is from HuffPost UK. So you might want to get your orders in sooner rather than later. If nothing else, they're sure to inspire some interesting conversations at the dinner table this December.
Yeah, that's a vagina mint.
Vagina mints.
Marlotha, can you pass the Weasley down? Oh, what is that on Beatrice's tree? Oh, darling, those are my vagina mints.
You know, I've seen Christmas tree ornaments that have, you know, like a rather
vagina mints.
Vertically eye-shaped look vagina to them. Mints. I think that's a standard mints. Ornament shape.
Bet you people who have those also have truck nuts.
What is a... Oh, vagina please. Mints. Visuals. Thank you. No.
Vagina mints.
No. What do truck nuts taste like?
They taste like vagina mints.
Can you get them pine scented?
Probably.
For the holidays? Or cinnamon? Cinnamon or pine scented vagina mints. There you go.
I don't want a scented vagina mint, okay? I'm sorry.
Right, you want a ornament. Pure vagina mint, exactly how it tastes.
Ornament on one's tree.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, but. You remember vagina Priscilla mints. Queen in the Desert, right? Mike? Hello, Earth to Mike.
Oh, he's
what,
busy.
What?
So you saw Priscilla Queen in the Desert, right?
Yes, Terrence Stamp.
I wonder if they have an animatronic vagina mint that shoots ping pong balls.
An animatronic vagina mint that you what?
Shoots ping pong balls. It's like a Priscilla Queen
That's
of the Desert
like
edition.
Really disturbing. It's really disturbing. That's a disturbing thing, Joe. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I'm still trying to get over this visual of meatloaf.
Hey, Danny's having a Mai Tai in Waikiki.
Why, did he post something to Facebook?
Yeah, he posted something on Facebook. Did you see that, Chris? Danny's having a...
No. Danny didn't send me the picture.
It's on his Facebook right now.
Oh, it's on Danny's Facebook.
Danny's Facebook.
Because when I asked the question, I was under the impression that it was on the nature page.
What question did you ask? Has Danny ever eaten a vagina mint?
Danny, you shouldn't eat vagina mints. They're for hanging.
Danny, you shouldn't eat vagina mints. They're for hanging.
They're ornaments.
They're ornaments. They're not feeding.
There you go. Only in...
Do you remember Padme?
Yes.
And the Padme's mystery listening. Guest.
Padme
oh,
is.
Padme, hello. And the mystery guest is still flipping out about meatloaf vagina mints.
He's segueing again. He's doing what he's doing exactly what he accuses you of.
I listen to the mystery guest. You guys don't listen to her. You just a vagina mint sitting there. You don't listen to her. You gotta listen.
She's just a vagina mint sitting there. How about that?
That was funny. You have to admit that was funny.
Okay, Mr. Trump.
What? I'm just kidding.
Yes, Mr. Trump.
Calm down, everybody.
Okay. Let's see. He lives north of the Mason-Dixon line. He lives in the mountains. I'm sure he has a license to carry.
I love the mystery guest, so leave me alone.
Ooh, in some places that
you
would
love
be considered...
Vagina mints. That's what you
that
mean.
Would be considered harassment. So...
You know, it's much funnier. Why don't you guys put the cam back up? Because it's much funnier to watch.
It's like a three-ring flea circus, right?
No, it's just so funny.
I don't know.
Mike starts dancing around in the studio.
I wonder if some of those containers...
Here's a song worth dancing.
I wonder if some of the containers that he has on his properties don't contain Russian contraband in the terms of... Well... You know what I'm thinking. Did you play this song just for Chris?
Yes.
No,
the new name of the show.
Well, I mean, if you're talking about the song in general,
but I was alluding to the fact of the feed Chain of Fools for Mr. Taylor.
By the way, did you know that the New York Times now has a weekly segment called The Week in Hate?
Yes.
That's a great title for a segment. Wow.
Yes, I'm well aware of that, because they've already been citing
since the election.
Let's talk about
The Week in Hate.
Also hate crime since the election.
Yeah, there's tons of them. It's just, you know, life is like a George Orwell novel.
I was going to say that...
What were you going to say, George?
I am a little bit... cautiously optimistic as to what New Year's Eve in Times Square might look like this year.
Why are you optimistic? Have you ever been in Times Square on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
I've been there. I've done it.
I am hoping that...
It's insane, Joe.
It is, but I am hoping...
It's insane. Don't do it.
No, I am not going, but what I'm saying is, given the current socio-political climate...
The current socio-political climate, what are you saying?
I think that there is the potential for some rather god-awful moments to transpire on its way to the end of the year. So when you think about all the things that have been happening on the subways in New York and yada, yada, yada... I am hopeful.
Where does the optimism come from?
Well, because it is New Year's Eve, and it is, you know, rife with the potential of positive energy.
Millennia that, later.
That, but, you know, in the back of my mind, there are these concerns that, you know, the way they, like, cordon everybody into those little boxes.
Who's they?
The police department.
The blockades.
Okay.
That There may be some explosive combinations that might make this a memorable New Year's in more ways than we care to have.
Give me the optimism, Joe.
Well, no. The optimism is that people come together in New Year's and they want to start a new year and fresh and, you know, in with the old, out with the old and in with the new kind of thing.
Yeah, the new will be him in office. So give me the optimism, Joe.
I'm hoping, because New York tends
to be... Hoping for what?
A little bit more positive than the rest of the country.
You're optimistic that there will be optimism in the coming year?
No.
I'm waiting for optimism.
I am saying that the event itself.
New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Or New Year's celebration.
New Year's Eve celebration.
Is a time to be optimistic.
Yes.
It's a sign to be optimistic every year.
Well, but the other thing is, with everything that's going on in the city, I think there
we
is...
We need it.
Well, and also there is the potential for things to go a little bit more awry than they have in years past. But I am, you know, hopefully optimistic.
You're optimistic that everybody wants things to be better.
it will be a uneventful event. So
that's your optimistic opinion.
I'm hoping.
Okay.
So
But, you know, we do have all those scallywags that come over from Jersey, the Bridge and Tunnel crowd, you know what I mean? And
the scallywags.
The scallywags.
You got to remember, she's from Jersey. So, Mystery Guest is from Jersey, well, so you can calling her a scallywag.
Well, it depends on what part she's of Jersey
here.
She's from.
She's here. What part of Jersey? Are you from Scallywag, New Jersey?
Are you from South Jersey or North Jersey?
West Coast.
West Coast. Where
are
you?
Are there scally? Did you grow up with scallywags?
No.
She grew up near a cranberry bog. By the way,
no, I did not.
Yes, you did. You told me about the cranberry bog. I didn't even know they had cranberry bogs.
One.
She visited a cranberry. Did you know that there were cranberry bogs?
Single occasion.
In New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
No, because, you know, the lies spread by ocean spray. I thought, you know, they were only in Massachusetts. So, who'd have thunk it? Did you go and when you visited the bog, did you purchase any cranberries with which to...
Did you grab any cranberries while you're there?
No, I did not.
You just went down and checked out the cranberries at the bog. I mean, come on. How many people could say, yeah, I went to a cranberry bog? You're the first person
berries.
I've ever met to say they've been to a cranberry bog. I didn't even know there were cranberry... Chris, did you know there were cranberry bogs?
Yes.
Not
Don't
in Jersey.
Lie.
I knew there were.
No, in upstate New York there are.
Yeah, upstate New York.
South Jersey.
You been to the cranberry bog up there?
No, I've been to the hop picking.
What does that
even
mean?
You know hop.
You mean the hops that they make beer out of?
Yeah, there's hops and then there's skipping. Hops and skipping. But the cranberry bog, I mean, yeah, it makes sense, Mike. I mean, there's a lot of things you don't know about. It's obvious.
You never went to a cranberry bog. The mystery guest has been to a cranberry bog. I've never been to one.
She's cool, man. What's she? Leave her alone.
I'm not bothering her. I'm just saying. Cranberry bog.
Chris, you're pivoting.
You're pivoting, Chris.
Mike is the man that is the picket that he knows how to pivot. Mike, what did you put up on the thing? What is this Aunt Esther's purses? What did you watch out, sucker? What did you put up, man? What is this?
I didn't put that on the night shift set.
I posted it up. Post all kinds of things.
That's not for me. That's on.
All right, but listen, I know what the three of y'all went and did. Okay, I know what the three of you went and did.
By the way,
why?
I'll tell you what I did earlier this evening.
I know what you guys did earlier this evening. I know what y'all did.
What did we do?
And I feel left out right there. Right there, I feel left out.
What did we do, Joe?
I just came here from home. I was busy working. So I don't know what he's ranting about.
Joe, you didn't Rogue One?
I went to see Rogue One.
No, I'm going on Wednesday.
I thought you said you were going on Tuesday.
Wednesday.
Yeah, I went tonight, and I can't review it, but all I can say is it is the Star Wars film you've been waiting for.
Oh, we should mention.
Wait. Hold 1 second, Joe. Mike, that's not explaining what that means.
What that means that this you can, I can't give a review, but I can tell you.
No, I can't. I'm not saying to give a review, but explain in philosophical terms what you
in philosophical terms they could call this Star Wars, you know, the six episodes, right? Or seven now. And you could call this Star Wars
3A?
3.5.
There you go.
You could call it Star Wars 3.5. It's that good. It's seamless. You'll be cheering, and it's seamless. That's all I got to say.
There you go.
Well, you know, having watched...
It may be that when his life at last comes to an end, he will leave no more trace of his sojourn on this
planet. 50 times or 60 times now, probably.
What's that? You've seen the original? The original?
No, the last one that just came out.
No, I'm talking about the original. This is tied into the original, not the new ones, not the...
Yeah, but eventually... But I'm just saying that I thought they did a really good job, so I'm pretty much assuming that they figured it all out and they're going to be able to pull it off out on
any
level.
Well, this is definitely better than...
Chris must be eating those member berries.
Yeah, this is definitely better.
He's not famous. It may be that when his life at last comes to an end, he will leave no more trace of his sojourn on this earth. And a stone thrown into a river leaves on the surface of the water. Yet it may be that the way of life he has chosen for himself may have an ever-growing influence over his fellow men, so that, long after his death perhaps, it may be realized that there lived in this age a
very remarkable creature.
Story is for you, Mr. Fierce Mac. What are you reading there, Joe?
No, I found something.
Something you want to read?
No, kind of.
All right, and just while Joe is squinting with the light there, I'm going to just tell people that they can make a pledge, and you can become a BAI buddy. The whole idea behind the BAI buddy is that you're sort of a supporting member, supporter. A continuing supporter of WBAI. It's for $10 a month. All you have to do is go to the Facebook page right now, NITESHIFT, and there's a link right on the MindShift Facebook page where you can click and then become a BAI buddy. But become a BAI buddy in the name of MindShift, during MindShift. It's on the page. It's on the WBAI.org website. If you look for programs, you can go straight there. You'll see a description of Night Shift and who we are, what we do. But at the bottom of that, you can make a pledge and become a BAI buddy. It's only $10 a month. Come on. How can you not? If you're enjoying the show, even one night of enjoyment, you know, there's nothing you can get for $10 of enjoyment. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, you can't even go to a movie for $10. Maybe if you're a senior citizen in the morning. But that's about it. So, make a pledge. Go to the Facebook page or go to the WBAI page. Become a BAI buddy for Night Shift. Fierce Mac. What are you laughing at, Joe? Joe carries this stuff around.
Where are
with him.
So many Mexicans?
Oh, I remember.
What?
Yeah, remember when marriage was just between a man and a woman?
I remember.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that. Wait.
Remember feeling safe?
Remember no ice?
Remember Reagan?
Oh, I remember.
Oh, remember.
What is that, Joe?
What?
What is that?
That's South Park.
That's what I thought it was. Hey, Mike, what was that cut you just played before?
The one that's playing now?
No, the one before this one.
Oh, I don't know. What was it? What did I play before?
He doesn't remember.
The guy was talking all about death. That's the person going to be.
Oh, this is still the same track.
Oh, what is it?
It's called Hala Hala.
Hala Hala?
By a group called Agricantus.
Yeah, you gotta send me that. Believe me that the way of life is chosen for itself. He had an ever-growing influence over his fellow men, so that long after his death, perhaps, it may be realized that I lived to his age a very remarkable creature. He's not famous. It may be that when his life at last comes to an end, he will leave no more trace of his sojourn on this earth than a stone thrown into a river leaves on the surface of the waters. What it may be that the post life is chosen for.
Well, you don't like Huffington Post.
Well, I mean, Variety is the spice of life, and I'm sure that there are other stories that we should be telling.
I do have other stories, but I just want you to read that one.
You want me to read this one?
Yes.
Scientists could erase all your fears with an injection into the brain, which this sounds like a movie I've seen.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
So, there you go. Fear of a particular thing can cause anxiety and be difficult to treat. Conventional treatments, the NHS says, often require cognitive behavioral therapy or gradual exposure to your fear by spending more time with the thing that concerns you. Now scientists have come up with an answer, and it doesn't require you having to confront your fear head on. The technique is meant to desensitize people to the thing that they are frightened of over a period of time, but can be traumatic. Now, a new study has discovered that a small injection of embryonic brain cells into the fear control center of your brain could erase the fear.
Embryonic brain cells into the fear control centers of your brain.
Using mice, a team at Fundan University in China. Fundan. We make a noodle and then we have costs in the evening. You can have fundan noodle.
Go ahead.
There you go.
You're stupid.
Look, you know, took cells from mice embryos and injected neurons into mice that had anxieties to particular noises. Now, you know.
So that's, isn't that what they call liquid courage?
But you know that they had to induce the fear first into the rat.
Yes, they did.
So
yes, they did.
There you go. So
can you imagine having your job as in like frightening
scared
rats?
At rats. Oh, what are we doing? Scared at
frightening
rat.
Rats.
That rat there? You see
that's
that rat?
Like your job description.
Scare him.
Exactly. All right, I just got hired. What do I do? You see
like,
that rat
like,
over there?
Imagine getting called
scare
in by
him.
HR. It's like, Mr. Peterson, I'm sorry, but we're going to have to let you go. Why? What? I showed up on time. You know, I could. Yes, but according to your job description, you were supposed to instill fear in a variety of rats to which you failed to live
the
up to your job expectations.
The rats aren't afraid of
it's
you.
It's like the guy would come into work and the rats would be like, hey, buddy, it's you again, huh? Huh? I'm not afraid of you.
Not afraid.
I'm not afraid of you. There you go. They also did a placebo with dead cells in another control group of rodents. So,
dead cells.
There you go.
So they injected dead cells into your fear.
We have to use a placebo. What should we do? I would just kill the cells and stick them in the rat's brain.
Damn.
So there you go. The results show that while a transplant alone was not able to prevent the mice from developing new fears, nor help them overcome existing ones, it was successful when coupled with another treatment. What, electroshock therapy?
Damn.
The combined use of brain cell transplant and...
Brain cell transplant. Well, and it doesn't work unless we stick some...
I have a problem with this terminology. Extinction training.
Extinction training.
A therapy.
Wow. Talk to me. What the hell is extinction training?
Designed to reverse fear associations did work.
Extinction training.
I'm afraid of dying. In fact, just 2 weeks after the surgery, the team found that a fear response was 3 times less likely to return in the mice if they had received the live transplant rather than other cells. And they went around going like, are you talking to me? Are you talking to me?
Extinction therapy.
There you go. More surprisingly, the transplant had also been able to return the amygdales, an almond-shaped part of the brain that received...
Amygdala.
No, it's different. Almond-shaped part of the brain that receives the donor cells back from a mature to a juvenile stage. The team hopes that this could be turned to a treatment for PTSD in the future.
That's a stretch.
There you go. I'm going to inject some cells into you. I'm going to give you some dead cells.
And then you're going to have to go through some extinction therapy. All right, see if you can tell me who this is, Joe. Or
Jesus.
Chris. No, the music I'm going to play.
Jesus.
Jesus.
It was Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus.
Wish I could swim like dolphins. Like dolphins can swim, though nothing will keep us together. We can beat them and ever. How we can be heroes just for one day. How we can be heroes just for one day. Before Americans came, he
serves the foreigners in growing numbers. He sees the foreigners in fancy houses. He dreams of days that he can still remember now. Mon Chic holds a package in his quivering hands. Mon Chic sends the package to the American man. Softly he glides along the streets and alleys. Up comes the wind that makes them run for cover. He feels the time is surely now or never more. The wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, the dust in my head, dust in my hair, the wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, will drive them away, will drive them away. Mon Chic buys his equipment in the marketplace. Mon Chic plans devices throughout the free trade zone. The wind is lifting up his people. He calls the wind to guide him on his mission. He knows his friend the wind is always standing by. Mon Chic smells the wind that comes from far away. Mon Chic waits for news in a quiet place. He feels the presence of the wind beside him. He feels the power of the past behind him. He has the knowledge of the wind to guide him on. The wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, the dust in my head, the dust in my head, the wind in my heart, the wind in my heart. Drive them away, we'll drive them away. The wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, the dust in my head, dust in my head, the wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, will drive them away, will drive them away. The wind in my heart, the wind in my heart, will drive them away.
So, Chris, you know this?
Yeah, I know it as soon as the vocal starts.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really good. That's the latest?
No, actually, that's from an album he did in 2010 called Scratch My Back. That was Peter Gabriel. It's all instrumental like that. It's all interesting and very really introspective. Good. Yeah, it's definitely, he's at a different place in his career and what he's doing and stuff. It's kind of interesting. Joe Masseri.
Is this Joe's band?
That was Joe Masseri.
Yes.
Is this Joe? Is Joe getting ready for work? Puts on his velvet vest.
I do not have a velvet vest.
Don't lie.
I don't have a leather vest. I don't have a velvet vest.
I have a leather vest.
There you go.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Chris.
How many times do you think Mike's going to go see Rogue One?
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
Mike, how many times are you going to see it now that you saw it?
Probably three times, but I will say this. This is the first Star Wars film that I've seen without Chris Griffin. I took Chris Griffin to see the very first Star Wars film. I don't even want to say how long ago that was. And, you know.
You can IMDb it.
No, I don't want to say.
1952, I think.
Yeah, right, exactly. We used to go to the beach and watch Pilgrim's Land. And so, you know.
What was that like when you guys were there, the Pilgrims were landed? What was that
like? It was fun because people were happier than the late Native Americans trusted the white people. Anyway, the point is that I went and it was great. And so all the other Star Wars films, then when the new ones came out and then they do the re-releases, you know, I always went with Kristen. And every Christmas I used to have, this is back in the day when I was a young man, it was either New Year's or Christmas Eve, I would have a Star Wars party, and I would get all three, and I would rent a projector.
Well, that explains a lot.
Shut up. And again, this is pre DVD. Pre DVD.
You're taking notes, mystery guest.
And it's pre DVD.
She had to walk out of the room.
Exactly. And so I was a huge Star Wars fan. And but Chris Griffin was always there, and so I do miss him because. This is the first Star Wars film I've seen without him. Like when the new one, when Phantom Menace came out, I'll admit this is the most I'll admit to in terms of my geekness. When Phantom Menace came out, I saw it, of course, as a critic. I saw it a week before or whatever and saw it for nothing. But the day it came out, I bought tickets to see it four times that day, okay, at different theaters around the city. And suffice to say, Chris Griffin met me for three of them. Okay,
I see.
And I met with different people, and you know, so this one probably three times. It doesn't have Harrison Ford in it, so it's still not going to be like, you know, it's Star Wars. I mean, let me tell you, I can't review it, but all I'll say, you'll be very satisfied. Satisfying Star Wars movie.
Okay,
you're like, you get Star Wars. That's what you want. That's what you get. You'll be happy. Does that make sense?
In some modicum of sensibility.
Well, are you? Let me ask you: are you more of a Star Wars or a Star Trek fan? Because Star Wars is not really science fiction; it's space fantasy,
right?
And Star Trek is science fiction. So, which are you more? Which do you have a greater acumen for?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay. That's you know, comic book science fiction is a certain kind of science fiction.
Yes, but
you like lighthearted science fiction.
Well, no, I like the whole Star-Lord thing.
It's what like, about the Star-Lord?
It's like he's like that he's like Harrison Ford with a playlist.
Okay, yeah, he's definitely a Han Solo, not Harrison Ford.
Well, Han Solo with a playlist.
I mean, yeah. Okay, yeah. Well, so you like that type of character.
Yes.
Okay.
And I like the other characters that surround him.
So did you have a character you really liked to Star Trek? Are you more like a Spock guy, more like a Scotty guy, or more like a Kirk guy?
I like and no disrespect to any of the older Star Trek films, but I do like Simon Pegg as the new Scotty.
Okay.
I think he brings a level of, while James Doheny had a more theatrical staging representation of the character, Simon Pegg embraced
Jimmy Doohan. Is that what
Jimmy Doohan? Sorry,
James Doheny. I'm like sitting there like,
it's
wow, James Doheny.
2:22 in the morning.
Who's James Doheny?
I told you I wanted to leave it too. God damn
you! All right,
you.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
It's just that Simon Pegg embraces that but brings a level of energy to it that the role never had, which, you know, gives you a newfound respect for the character.
Okay. But Star Wars, Han Solo was your favorite character. Han Solo was definitely my favorite character.
I like Star Wars. Han Solo.
Who was your favorite character?
I liked Han Solo.
He was your favorite.
I thought Mark Hamill was too goofy.
Did Absolutely.
So even when he became, even in Return of the Jedi.
Absolutely.
There was just something.
Absolutely. Listen, never a Luke fan.
So
Han Solo, all the way.
There you go. Leia had bigger truck nuts than Han Solo.
Yeah, you know, Leia was a good character. You know, she was like the only female character, but she was a good character.
Yes, yes. Every other female character was some kind of alien character.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
But
especially the first Star Wars is like no other females, even like in the background.
Like, she could never have a cat fight.
Well, no, there's no need.
But there needed to be.
Well, and clearly.
You wanted to see somebody rip those Danishes off her head. And
you want to see somebody rip those Danishes. Well, Joe.
There you go.
I think you've revealed enough.
Yeah. I've seen fights on the subway.
I think somebody's calling about your Danishes. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, fellas.
Yes, yes, hello.
I'm enjoying your show tonight.
Okay.
This is Rick.
Hey, Rick.
Calling you all the way from Germany.
Germany? You calling from Germany? You're listening in Germany? Now, hold on a second. Let me just let it sink in that you're halfway around the world listening.
Not in this day and age.
Yes, you are. The planet's still the same size. We just know how to traverse it better. All right, so now what are you doing in Germany, first of all?
I'm putting aside my Brother Man comic books to get involved with you.
All right. That's
trying to learn where to find the water the next time I come to New York.
Okay. All right. I understand. And you want to know where the free water is, of course.
No. I'm willing to pay a dollar.
Okay. All right. See,
a question for you.
Yes.
You're talking about Star Wars and Star Trek. Tell me about the differences you find between Star Trek and Frank Herbert's Dune.
Well,
the Dune,
you know,
6 originals.
What do you mean the differences? That's such a broad question to ask. I'll let Joe answer.
The hope in one versus the other.
Well, here's the thing.
Do we get out of this alive or not?
Well, you know, Dune is about like the coming of a messiah. You know, it's mixing, you know, a good science fiction. One thing about a good science fiction is it world builds. And so for Dune, there was a whole religion and there was, you know, the sort of the magic and the powers and things that had. It wasn't Earth.
It embraced the more medieval philosophy. Right?
Absolutely.
You know, the way that there were the feudal lords
absolutely.
Who controlled different areas and how the church.
It took elements of our world
and
created
that
its own. Yes.
To that, which I thought was different. When you look at the Crusade, it kind of embraced it, but flipped it, because only the first book were the people of the desert planet suppressed. And after that, they rose to power.
Well, again, that was part of the mythology. I mean, he planned these books out. So that's what Dune is. Dune is about a whole, whereas Star Trek, you know, is sort of an extrapolation of what we have today. We're supposed to believe that, like, one day we will evolve to be the Federation and go out there and explore worlds that could potentially be like Dune.
But that may all come to a grinding halt on January 20th.
Where you think so? There'd be no more science fiction films? Like
no,
a
I
ban
think there'd
on
be
science
no more,
fiction.
You know, World War III is going to happen and we're all going to live in
it. You think so?
Yeah, eventually.
So, like, this past year, what we, you know, like, a lot of times they were the Nostradamus or the Bible, they always find, like, now we get what it said. It sounded like this. It couldn't have been quite that, but it's this. So this is the rapture. All the good people, that's why so many people died in 2006. Those were the good people. What we see, you know, we interpreted good people to be something else.
Yeah, but there's a difference, because the rapture they were supposed to take would be taken up. And these people were put down. So,
yeah, well, you see, but it depends on how you look at it. You know, these people have ascended to heaven. They've left this wasteland we are walking around
in. Their mortal coil.
And, you know, you say shuffle. Maybe they're say release.
Can I get in another question and then drop?
Yes.
What do you think of the son of Frank Herbert and the co-writer with him, the new books they've put out? And I'll take that answer off the air.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
I read one of the books. I wasn't, I don't know. It just didn't have the same tone and timbre to me, and it didn't really capture my didn't ignite my original enthusiasm with the first six books that I had. And in fact, I got about 2/3 through the book and never finished it. So there you go.
Well, you know, I feel like, I think it's great that his son carried on the legacy that his dad began. You know, Frank Herbert started the Dune books, Mr. Guest, and then when he died, his son continued writing more novels in that universe. But his dad had established this universe, so...
And he established the story arc that took him through the
He did,
the six
and
books.
He established the families. You know, there was a series of planets, and there are different... You know, he'd set up his own galactic empire, as it were, and what was of value. You know, have you seen any of the Dune movies?
I have not.
Okay, in Dune, you know, there are it's a whole universe, as you can imagine, and there are different families that run different industries
and different planets
on different planets. You know.
So they're almost like the guilds.
They're like guilds, exactly.
So,
some people make lollipops.
Some people make lollipops. Spice, the spice. Spice was the main, you know, that's what Dune was all about. Dune was a desert planet with a lot of spice.
Which was basically worm poop.
Well, yeah, it was worm poop. But the worm poop could give you psychic powers. So the spice was like spice. Right.
And,
so it was.
And the navigators needed it to bend
the
space.
With the spice, you could bend space and time.
Yes.
And you could see plans within plans.
What color did their eyes change when they
blue light blue? So anyway,
which
that's
wormwood, absinthe.
So I think I know his dad did it. His son came along, finished the series. His son, you know, sort of had a different interest in this universe than his dad did, and I understand where Joe's coming from.
So the voice was different.
It was a different voice in the same universe, different voice. You know.
Did he stay in the spice business?
Well, would that be a spoiler, Joe?
I didn't. Well, he rose to power and stuff and whatnot, but I never finished the seventh book, so I don't know what happened by the end of the seventh book. I can either.
And we'd like you to consider if you're enjoying any of the information, music, science fiction talk, any of it, whatever you like about Night Shift, become a BAI buddy. Support this station, because Night Shift can't be here if BAI can't be here. And there's so many great programs and so many great things. And let me just say this. I have a sneaking suspicion that public radio will become more relevant than ever.
Absolutely.
In the era that we're heading into, where you have a media that is not influenced by any corporate entity, which we all now know clearly. There's no, you know, the illusions are gone that corporate entities are not politically inclined.
The rose-colored glasses.
That's right. You CNN, or you can watch Fox News. Two different kind of people, two different kind of news coverage, two different kind of perspectives. You're not getting news. So something like WBAI, where you can get news, and it's not so much about being on the left. Some people think that that's what this is. It's about news. It's about unbiased reporting. It's about
vaginaments.
And so, once you become a BAI buddy, and all you have to do is go to Facebook right now, NITESHIFT. That's right. And that's the Night Shift Facebook thing. And right there's a link where you can go. It'll take you to the website where you can become a BAI buddy right now during Night Shift. For Night Shift, it's right on our page, NITESHIFT. Go there right now. I just love this. I can't get enough of this, Joe. All right, so is there something else you wanted me to play? And Chris, you've seen the Dune movies, right? Did you see the sci-fi series too?
I thought it was... I liked it.
What are you opening up there?
And this is the Tucson. What's the song? What song should I be playing? By the way, the music I'm playing right now is from The Girl on the Train. It's Danny Elfman. And this is so different for Danny Elfman. I mean, the more I listen to it, the more I say, okay, it is Danny Elfman. But I love what he did here. It's so much fun. So, what should I play, Joe?
I'll play the second track.
Why?
Why, Joe?
Because it
I wanted some setup.
Because Alan Trissant is was another great musician we lost this year. A man who brought Dixieland jazz and New Orleans music to the masses, and this is him paying homage to his beloved city. Plus, I have to say, I don't know what they did on this, and I don't know if you're going to hear it listening to it on the radio, but when I listened to this album, and even when I ripped it and put it on my smartphone, the clarity of the piano is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. I mean, I felt like I was there in the room with him, listening to him play. It was just an extraordinary listening
experience. So who produced the album, do you know?
Because my eyes are old. Let me look. And I did not Google it either, so which I
can't. Well, this is a CD, Joe.
Yes.
So this actually has liner notes. Of course, I can't read them either, but.
Thank you.
You know. Okay, let's see. It tells me who all the musicians are. There he is. Don't you love this, Mr. Guest? Do you like it?
Oh, I like this, yes. As background, yeah.
It's good background. Mm-hmm. You know somebody's going crazy.
Mood background.
Yes. All right, let's see. This was recorded by Ryan Freeland, and it was produced at Toussaint's own studio in New Orleans.
Look at that.
It says New Orleans, L.A. Oh, New Orleans and L.A. Okay.
No, New Orleans, L.A. is Louisiana.
Oh, Louisiana. Okay, New Orleans, Louisiana. There it is. And other tracks. So he recorded some of it at his studio in New Orleans, and other tracks recorded in Hollywood, California.
There you go.
So Ryan Freeland is the guy. So let's see what this sounds like. Thank you.
like it.
What do you think there, Chris? Did you like it?
Yeah, it's good. Joe has good taste in music. He can only
meatloaf, so like, not that, not meatloaf, not counting meatloaf, but
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, please.
You know, the meatloaf thing. There was something there. I'd have to listen to a couple more tracks and see if it totally goes off the rail. But there was something interesting.
But yeah. I don't, like I said,
gotta respect.
It got made.
You gotta respect everybody's.
It got made. Yeah, it's got made. That's
artistic.
I have to say though, I don't know if you heard the here in the control room, we could hear it. I think you'll agree with me, Mike. Like, there was such a quality to the sound that you felt like you were in the recording studio,
right,
in the midst of them playing. I mean, you could hear the brushes in a way on the drums and stuff. I mean, you could even hear his foot on the pedal a couple of times. There was just such a clarity to the recording. So,
well, that's really what you know, that's what the engineer does. Like,
yeah,
the way where they position the mics and all of that's the genius.
But it's very rare that you get such a live recording like that. And the other thing taken into consideration, I mean, he was in his 80s at the time, 82.
Sure.
You know, to him have that spryness to his hands on the piano.
Hey.
You could just hear the
glucosamine chondroitin.
Well, you could just hear the liveliness and the spirit and his passion in playing. So, and the whole album's like that. So.
Nice. And so, I'm just curious for Joe Masiri, because I'm trying to picture you listening to this. What are you doing when you listen to this kind of music? Like, are you getting ready for church, or what are you doing?
Church, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm getting ready for church on Sunday morning.
Well, you know, I just...
I'm getting out my purple suit.
Do you have purple suit, like a Joker
suit?
That's
nice, Joe.
No, I have my Sunday come to meeting purple suit.
Oh, Sunday come to meeting.
And, it depends. I could be doing driving in a car. I could be doing work in the office.
Driving in a car.
You know?
You could be picking your nose
in a purple suit.
Well, I can't recall
with
the
a big
best...
smile on your face.
I can't recall to the best of my recollection that I was ever picking my nose while I was listening.
But I mean, you never know. You have a pick my nose song going on. Nobody'll know.
I actually have a song from the Duke of Schnoz.
From
with
what?
You?
No, not on me. But there, I do have a song by a guy called the Duke of Schnoz where he sings about picking his nose.
See that, Mike?
Joe, you would own
one of Joe's favorite
that song. So there you go.
Starring Jimmy Durante or something.
No, it wasn't Jimmy Durante.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. But if you like,
you don't have that song, Mike, do you? The King of Snaz.
My taste is different than Joe's.
I could bring it for you next time, Chris, if you'd like.
Yeah, you should do that, because I think Mike would love to hear that King of Snaz. You know, just because he, you know, just it would expand his horizon of. I mean, Mike's heard just about everything. He probably hasn't heard that.
All right, you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio.
See, there you go, pivoting again.
No, it's time to pivot. It's 2:42.
It's time to pivot.
And we're pivoting. We're compressing time and pivoting.
We're compressing time.
We're going back to the future.
The name of the show.
Night Shift.
Night Shift.
You know, what's interesting is a friend of mine who I had seen the other Star Wars movie with, his wife wouldn't go see it. She refused. She's like, I'm not taking that bullet again.
Yet somehow they stayed married.
No, they're still married, but it's just interesting because I'm surprised they stayed married, because how could she not... I mean, it's interesting. You know, she's like really anti-seeing any kind of science fiction at this point, even though that's like what he could sit there and watch Aliens back to back, like the whole trilogy and quadruply or whatever you want to call all five of them, six of them, if you want to put all of them, and into Prometheus. Just interesting, you know, people and how I just find it fascinating. But since you didn't ask me that question as to whether I'm a Star Wars fan, since you and Joe wanted to have your own conversation, and I'm just going to sit here. I'm snapping tonight, am I not, huh?
Stewing in your own juices, you forgot to
add. No, I'm not. Mike's in a weird mood tonight. What's with you, babe?
Chris,
you
Taylor,
know?
Eduardo makes his own sauce.
Yeah, Mike's just, you know, Anyway, do you care it would, whether I'm a Star Wars or Star Trek? Do you give a crap about it?
Not really.
All right. Well, okay, that's great.
I mean, is he gonna?
It was much more fun snapping than to even talk about it. Yes, what, Joe? What? Do you want to talk about? Let's talk about something and see how long it takes before Mike interrupts. So, Joe, what did you think of the season of, well, I guess the mid-season finale of The Walking Dead?
Yeah, but Mike can't contribute to the conversation.
Whatever, man. It's like, so what? You guys were talking for 20 fucking minutes. Sorry. Whoops.
He's losing it.
You guys are talking for 20 minutes.
Chris?
And
Chris,
I didn't
Chris. Can you go over to your medicine cabinet and count your pills? Did you take your pill today?
No, go ahead.
Did the orderly come through and give you the medicine? Did he
yes.
check under your tongue?
All right, we don't have to talk about the Walking Dead. That's cool.
Did you swallow your pill, Chris?
Talk about whatever you want, then. Go ahead.
So, do you watch The Man in the High Tower, Chris?
No, I haven't seen that. No,
me either. So there you go. Have you watched 3% on Netflix?
No, I don't have Netflix.
Why don't you have Netflix?
Can't afford it.
What do you mean you can't afford it? It's less than going to a movie once a month. How many times?
Isn't it like $7?
$11.99.
All right, so Chris, what did you want to like, Chris, what did you want to tell me about Star Wars? That did you have some Star Wars anecdotal thing you wanted to add?
No, but you—that was a very profound question that you asked Joe.
What was that? What profound question? What was the profound
and then,
question?
Not only did I feel left out, then it went into I felt hurt. Then
okay,
I felt
okay,
isolated.
All right, I understand. But what was the profound question?
And then
that
I felt there was no love coming from you. Tonight.
Yes, there was no love.
But what I thought of Star Wars was Star Trek.
What?
But you haven't seen the film yet.
No. Mike was saying, which do you prefer? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Or a Star Trek fan? Okay, that's the profound question.
And
I didn't realize that.
That question didn't go to me or the mystery guest.
All right, mystery
so
guest.
I enjoy being furniture, but...
Well, Joe is the featured co-host here. But listen, Chris, what do you prefer, Star Trek or Star Wars? I know what you prefer. I don't even have to ask you. What about you, Mr. Guest?
Exactly.
I know you. There's no self-exploration here. Mr. Guest, do you prefer Star Wars or Star Trek?
I'm more of a simian fan.
You like Planet of the Apes? Really?
Yes.
Let me just say this. Cool. Let me just say this. Because I just went to that presentation they'd had last week for the new Planet of the Apes movie. First of all, the Planet of the Apes series, I think, is one of the best reboots ever, really. You know, the first movie, had a few missteps in there. Second movie, really good. You see where they're going. Third movie, when you see where they're going, you're like, yes.
I saw the new TV spot. Looks very dark.
It's very good. Very good. They had a whole presentation. The director came out and talked, and so did one of the ape actors.
Not Andy Sedeckis.
No. What's his name? He's the new ape. He's bad ape.
The one that plays Kobo, whatever his name is?
No, he plays bad ape. You don't know who that is yet, but you'll be remembering bad ape after you see the new movie.
Okay.
They've created a really great... ape character, you know, which is what they should have been doing. It's like, okay, we've got the homage, and we need some good characters. So they do. It's really they're leading. It's a much better origin to the Planet of the Apes, which is what this is. A stretched out origin is like, how do we get to, you know, Charlton Heston Landing? How do we get there? And that this is, I think, the final film, I guess, leading up to it, and looks really good. So you're a smart
leading up to one more that will.
I don't know. I don't know. This may be the last one. I don't know. They may. I'm sure it'll make money. They may make another one. But you know, if they make another one, they're going to be then remaking the original. You know what I mean? Because after this, sure they could stretch it out for another film.
Okay.
But from what I'm seeing, we know where we're going.
Okay.
So you know, it's you know.
Gotcha.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes. So, mystery guest, you're more of a fan of that kind of science fiction than Star Wars or Star Trek? You have no preference?
Well, I wouldn't mind seeing apes in space.
Okay.
Apes in
space. Okay. You prefer apes in space. So, you don't have a preference over Star Wars or Star Trek?
I can't say
that you do. They're about the same.
I can't say with validation.
I understand. I understand. You don't have enough knowledge of both to really give it a good comparison. Is that what you're saying?
I'd have to swirl the glass a bit longer.
I understand. I understand.
Mr. Guest, do you like the original Planet of the Apes?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Right. So the Charlton Heston version and all those on the series, in all five of the
series. Well, she hasn't seen all five, have you?
Well, I keep this information to myself.
Well, yeah, that's cool. Okay. But you like that kind of science fiction. Why do you like that kind of science fiction?
I like the connection to where we are now.
Huh.
Goes back to the Donald Trump and Dr. Zaius thing.
Well, you know, Planet of the Apes is clearly an allegorical tale, even
we're living
the novel.
In it. It's a madhouse.
It is a
madhouse.
Yes, it is. I'm going to have to open a show with that after Clinton, Trump's in office.
There you go. What was that all about? What was that?
A little brain fart. But yeah, after Trump's in office, I'll have to open each week like that. All right, but listen, if you've been enjoying the show, because we're going to be ending very soon. We've been
very soon.
Pressing time. We just covered a lot of stuff. Chris got upset, but he expressed himself.
No, I didn't get upset at all. I didn't get upset.
Yeah, Chris, you cursed, so you got upset. So anyway.
No. That's just me just talking. That's not upset. You'd know if I was upset. I wasn't upset about anything. I'm just talking.
All right, anyway, so
but yes,
what
it,
I want
let,
is...
Let me pitch this, man. Let me pitch this.
Okay,
so, irregardless of everything else, the most important thing, as Mike and Joe have talked about it tonight, is if you could become a BAI buddy. And the reason being is because this station, most of all, needs support. And as Mike has said, and Joe has concurred, and the mystery guest agrees also, that, you know, we're going into an era now that this station is going to be fundamentally important for everyone out there that wants to get an unbiased, truthful look into the way how things are, and be able to have access to that and listen to that, and not allow the powers that be will try to stop this voice. Therefore, we need to get ahead of it before January 20th. Before the changes start to occur, let's keep BAI a vital, vital voice for all of us. That's so important. So please, if you can, and you can become a BAI buddy and support this station, support this radio show, Night Shift, you go to the Facebook page, Mike will tell you how to do it, you just click on it and become a BAI buddy. Please.
NITESHIFT on Facebook. That's Night Shift. And there's a link right there at the top of the page where you can click and then become a BAI buddy on the Night Shift page on the WBAI.org website. So, become a BAI buddy. It's only $10 a month. You know, you pay for everything else in life that you want to retain, that you want to have. Or if you want to retain and want to have public radio, WBAI, free speech radio, everything that WBAI and Night Shift is to you, if you want to have that, support it. NITESHIFT on Facebook. You started to say something before Chris, brought himself back to prominence.
Did he hang up?
No, he's still there.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, okay.
I'm bringing you back to your point. You're making a point about Star Trek and Star Wars. Now, what you like about Star Wars? Because you still haven't answered my question: whether you like Star Wars or Star Trek better, or do you prefer Planet of the Apes like Mystery Guest?
After the initial three, I really don't, you know, and after the reboot, I really can't say that there's a preference either way.
For the, you mean the reboot of what? Star Trek and Planet of the Apes?
And Star Wars.
And Star Wars, really. So they're all kind of on the same level now in terms of reboots. But about in terms of originals?
In terms of being a franchise owned by a major studio that's, you know, looking for their Harry Potter.
Well, Harry Potter is another franchise. Harry Potter came long after both of those.
Yeah, I don't think that's what Mike's asking you, Joe. He's asking about whether
story, and sometimes the films and the franchise have a good story, and sometimes they don't, but not all of them are consistent.
Yeah, but do you prefer a universe? Do you prefer the universe of science fiction or the universe of space fantasy?
No, I just prefer a good story. Doesn't matter.
Not one doesn't appeal to you more than the other.
No. Good story and good effects and good acting and, you know, take me for a ride. It all depends on the ride. So, if it's not a good ride, it doesn't make a difference either way, and there have been some in both.
Mm. Do you agree with that, Mr. Guest?
Sure.
You want to be taken for a ride?
Maybe.
Joe Masiri, so you finally got to see Girl on the Train. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I'd also shared it with the viewing experience with my sister who read the book, and she liked it. And the one thing that I think, in addition to Elfman's score, which until the very end, it was something that was fresh, original, a bit different from what he usually does.
Absolutely.
Having, you know, owned the kitchen and a bar and known some very brittle alcoholics. I think Emily Blunt does a amazing job of creating a very physical performance that totally captures what it is for someone to be caught in the throes of that, to be and act like.
So you felt she was a very convincing alcoholic.
Very genuine, very convincing. You felt her pain.
I understand.
You really believed what she was going through.
I understand.
I've seen a lot of films this year, and I know some of the buzz of some of the films that they're talking about, but I think it was a very Oscar-worthy performance, given everything that I've ever seen her do up to that point. You know, I think she should get a nomination for her performance.
All right, look at you. All right, Mr. Guest, did you see the film?
Which film?
Girl on the Train.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it. Did you read the book?
I didn't read the book.
Do you know anything about it?
I don't know anything about it.
You know nothing. You can. Slightly.
Maybe.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Night Shift. We're on Mondays from midnight till 3 a.m.
We didn't talk about the one movie that opens on Friday that we both saw.
What?
Solace.
Solace? Or Silence?
Solace with Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, Solace, yes. Wait, quick question. Chris, did you see Girl on the Train?
No, but I would have if I would have had more time with you.
Okay. Solace, yes. What do you think of Solace? I was surprised.
I went in with very little expectations. Was surprised at how well written it was. We thought, and you and I both thought, that they were just casting Anthony Hopkins to be Anthony Hopkins.
That's what I thought.
But, you know, he really had a different... He really had a fresh take on the character. The only part, because it comes in late in the film, is Colin Farrell's performance as the serial killer.
Well, I wouldn't have revealed that, Joe. That's a spoiler.
No, it's but not.
It is a spoiler.
It's all the trailers and
Who
stuff.
Who watches trailers?
You don't.
All right. Well,
so, there you go. And it's in the movie poster.
What?
It's in the movie poster.
That's a spoiler. Don't look at posters.
Go through life uninformed.
Don't watch trailers. Don't look at the posters. Anyway, go to the movie. So what's playing? I'll see that.
There you go.
That's the best way to go.
But very, very surprising and definitely well worth the price of admission.
Well, yeah, I agree with you 100%. And I thought that the premise is fantastic. It's great.
Good script. Really good script.
The idea of having a psychic serial killer, brilliant.
Yep.
Brilliant idea. So much you can do with that, and they did a lot with it. And Hopkins is great, and I love the idea that, you know,